Good morning, everybody. So before we start the ceremony, I want to welcome all the guest monk who are participating this morning event. Especially this monk, my long-time friend, Master Thikmin Han, Abbot of Kwan Min Temple in Chicago. So I want to please welcome him. I want to say a few words in front of him. I think 2001, before even I start the temple, I was here on my first year. I was extremely sick. I didn't have support. I don't know who to contact. I don't have money to buy medicine. I don't know what to do. I'm totally confused. And then I was thinking I had to look for some help. So then I Google and I found his temple. I sent a letter because I'm so and so, I need your support. So I remember that time, almost 23 years ago, he sent me $600 to purchase my medicine. So therefore, rest of my life, Venerable, I'm so grateful to you. Thank you so much. So your support, continuous support for the temple. And the next, Master Thikmin Bin, Forehand Temple in Rockford. Thank you so much for participating. And last, Master Thikwan Han, Kwan Min Temple in Chicago. Thank you so much for coming. So everybody know Banti Rahula. I don't. I don't even care. Okay. So today is a very special day of my life and also the new chapter of the Blue Lotus Buddhist Temple history. So this morning I was reflecting myself. 22 years ago, we started this temple. That time I didn't have no idea what I'm going to do, what will going to happen in future. I was living in Cary, Illinois with my host family. One day I had the thought in my mind, I am going to start a temple for the local people. So I remember I don't have people to start the temple. So can you believe how I started my non-profit and the Blue Lotus Temple non-profit, my host family's kitchen. I put as a board members, myself, husband and wife, another friend of mine. So that's how I started the Blue Lotus Buddhist Temple non-profit 23 years ago. So anyway, everything happened in people's mind, good or bad, because of one single thought. One single thought. So I was running temples. I was doing my leadership. I think right after I become a monk, age 18, I was giving the leadership to people in my life. Therefore, I have lots of experience. I'm so humble to say that. Then age 21, my teacher sent me to Australia. So people who know me closely, they know I'm a very active person. I cannot sit still. You know, it's not the bad thing. I want to do something always, help the world. Because when I'm doing so many things in my life, sometimes it's so annoying to other people. Because that's my nature. I'm non-stop. I'm doing and helping the world, creating opportunities for people to find peace. I remember one time, one of my teachers, because he couldn't handle my energy. And so he said, you know, he was frustrated because of my energy. And he said, you born into this world in the wrong time. So that time, I was 15 years old. It hurt my feeling. But anyway, I thought the energy I have, I am going to turn into something positive to make this world to heal and find profound peace in people's life. So going through lots of pain and struggle emotionally, mentally, and physically, this is the product. Okay, this is the product. So I had one thought in my mind, it should be the Blue Lotus Temple. So most of the traditional temples, even Sri Lankan temples, we call the Sri Lankan temples, most of the traditional Buddhists, they do I'm not against it. They do lots of rituals. Lots of rituals. Rituals are so colorful, so beautiful. We can have a little entertainment, a little fun and joyful. But there is no depth. Because that means we all are having little fun. So then I thought, I want to start something for people to learn the teachings of the Buddha. So that is the purpose I started the Blue Lotus Temple 23 years ago. So why I want to share this Buddha's profound message to the world. So then I go through lots of challenges and difficulties, you know, lots of people start to help and support after I start this. So as I said, everything happened because of one human being thoughts. Because of the thoughts. Now think about all the negative things happen in the world because of the one single thought. Somebody's mind rising a single thought is putting energy into that. It can be the negative direction, can destroy the world. Now think about the World War II. Because something happened, one human being's mind as a thought. That thought expanded and ruined so many and killed so many people, lost their lives. Now think about 3,000 years ago, Buddha was born into this world. Name of the Buddha, even because of his mind, because of his thought, how many thousands of millions of people right now, in this present moment, they are receiving peaceful feeling, peaceful energy, calming the mind and meditating. How powerful somebody's one single thought. Okay? I know I'm accepting, you know, I'm a crazy person. So therefore, after I'm accepting I'm a lunatic, I'm crazy, even somebody tell me I'm a lunatic and crazy, it doesn't affect me at all. Why? I already accepted that. It's okay. So therefore, the whole world come to me and say, I'm a lunatic, I'm crazy, you know, whatever negative words they are using for me, it doesn't affect to me at all because I know I'm crazy. Okay? So, sometimes, you know, thoughts happening in my mind, middle of nowhere, the processing it mindfully, not emotionally, then I'm trying to make the decisions. Okay? So, last year, one of my friends, he's a doctor, he's a Vietnamese, and he said, you know, the 45 years I didn't go to my country because during the war, Vietnamese war, he came to United States. Last 45 years I didn't go to my country. I have lots of anger. I have lots of hatred in my mind. I have lots of fear. I have wounded mind. I said, doctor, you are a wonderful human being. Let's go. I'm going with you. Then right away he said, really? You are going with me? I said, if you want to go, I'm going with you. Then he said, let's do that. He doesn't want to go to Vietnam, but I pose him, I ask him, let's go. Wherever your wounded mind happen, go to those places and looking at those places and people, let's heal. We both went to Vietnam. We had a really good time. Now he wants to go again. You know, this November, we are going again. So when we are there, so first thing, we were visiting Thich Nhat Hanh's ordination temple. You know, the great master who passed away, he ordained there and also he passed away in the same temple. So we were visiting his temple. Then I saw Thich Nhat Hanh remains behind the Buddha. There is a little holy place they created. People go and offering flowers to Thich Nhat Hanh remains. So there was a man, a Vietnamese man, you know, I saw he was chanting, praying to Thich Nhat Hanh remain. And because I love him, I love his books. So therefore I have a deep connection with him because at Loyola University he was visiting Chicago. I met him 2 times in my life. Therefore a special place in my heart for this great master. Then I was respecting to his remain too. So then I was watching this Vietnamese man chanting devotionally, putting his whole heart into this. done the chanting, he turned his head, he saw I'm standing behind him. Then he bowed to me, then I start to talk to this man. So he's speaking little English. I was asking, what are you doing? Then he said, I'm chanting for Thich Nhat Hanh. I said, wonderful. Then I was questioning myself why he is chanting to this, you know, the human being who passed away and, you know, a year ago, why he's chanting to him? What is the purpose? I was thinking about my critical thinking. So then he said, why I'm chanting to Thich Nhat Hanh? He's in, like he was pointing up, he's in the heaven. But I don't know. He said he's in the heaven. Why I'm chanting to him? I need this. What is this? Money. He said, why I'm chanting to him? I need this. He said, using his fingers. Very interesting to me. So then I was thinking, this great master, even Martin Luther King, all those great people work together, make the peace, bring the peace to the world. But now he already left the world. Now this man using his name and praying to him, looking for money. That is the purpose of all this hard work. If we need, you know, if we want to make the money, then we have to consult somebody who knows how to make the money. Not me, not a Buddhist monk, not praying to the Buddha. If you are 1,000 times praying to the Buddha asking money, Buddha never give you money. I'm very sorry to tell you, it's very disappointing, right? And so therefore, don't chant to the Buddha asking money. If you are chanting to the Buddha, that means you are looking for inner peace. You are looking for the deeper wisdom. That is the purpose of chanting or whatever you are doing to the Buddha. So that moment, I felt a little sad in my heart, be honest. Then I was thinking, I don't want to see this will happen at the Blue Lotus Temple after I die. Somebody come to my picture like there, oh, we are chanting to Bhante Sujata, please give me $1,000,000. Good luck. You know, sorry. You know, I don't have that magic power to give you money. But there are lots of teaching in the Buddhism, you know, the Buddhist teaching, how to make good money. How to make the money. Buddha instruct how to do that because he has that wisdom too. I was thinking to myself, I don't want to say this will happen at the Blue Lotus. Then I was thinking to myself, you know, when we are driving around, I saw these big, beautiful Buddha statues. Then I was thinking to myself, thought happened in my mind, maybe I have to establish something outside of the temple for people to learn what is the purpose of this Blue Lotus Temple. What is the purpose? So then I thought maybe I have to establish beautiful medicine Buddha, purpose of healing. So then I was looking around the Buddha statue. Then my doctor friend, he was around, and wife, especially wife, and Bhante, do you like these statues? I said, yes, they are so beautiful, marble, Buddha. Yes, I love them. So then she can see, I really love this Buddha. Bhante, you want this? I said, yes, I really want to get one for the Buddha. Then right away she said, I will pay for you. Can you believe it was $7,000? So that family helped me. I invited them. They are not from this area. I invited them. They have a wedding today. They cannot participate. And so they said, we are going to be there in spirit, but we did the job. Please enjoy, right? So then that's how Buddha came to the Blue Lotus Temple. Then shipping and all those things, Tessa, Tyler, Rebecca go through lots of pain because of my crazy thought. So I'm very sorry, Tyler and Rebecca and Tessa, I'm very sorry. I gave you lots of pain and challenges and difficulties during this process, but today we are going to enjoy. Then the second, you know, the thought happened in my mind, Bhante Rahul also know, couple of times happened at the temple. Sometime people come to the temple middle of nowhere when we are here. One day, when I am walking into this building, There was a man sobbing here and touching the floor and crying loud, like putting hands on the floor, and then we gave him tissues. There was another monk, he got scared. He was thinking something wrong. Then I walk into the building, I can see he's sitting there. Then I was sitting next to him, I gave him a tissues, and he was crying emotionally like a child. Then he said, "Why I'm here, today I'm going to take my life." Then that moment, I felt, no, it's never happened. So I'm going to save his life. We were sitting and talking, he also came, we support that person to take care of his life. Then another day, we both outside, we were waiting there in the summer day. Somebody came and walked into us and said, announced to us, right, he's going to kill himself. So then he said, "Okay, I'm leaving." He was getting to the car. Then I said, "Don't go." You know, we asked him to come and we talked to him. I think still he's text messaging you. And so, however, we save his life too. So therefore, other thought happened in my mind, not like a traditional Buddhist countries. This temple is not 24/7 open to public, because this is America. America is always open hours, right? So in these open hours, people are coming. But Buddhist countries, most of the Buddhist countries, temple are open to the, you know, public 24/7. Anytime they can come and meditate, but we cannot do it here. So then I had the thought, people sometimes looking for refuge, looking for help, they are coming to this place, sometimes doors are shut down. I don't know how many people left disappointed when the doors are locked. So then other thought happened in my mind, because of that, I want to establish something outdoor, people can come and sit down and meditate. That is the purpose of healing Unity Garden. Does it make sense now? So sometime in the beginning, people are so confused. Even our close friends are so confused. What this crazy monk is doing? So after I purchased the statue, I sent the text message to Tyler. "Tyler, I got the marble Buddha." I didn't inform anybody about it. I just said, "Oh my God." You know, that's Tyler's word. "Oh my God. What are you going to do with that?" I said, "I don't know. We'll see." Right? And so, however, I really believe my inner thought, because so far, whatever good thoughts happen in my mind, those thoughts didn't hurt to anybody. So always it is supporting to people. So therefore, what I'm asking you today, all of you, please consider outside Healing Unity Garden and the sacred place for you to come and sit and meditate. Now next Monday, coming Monday, we are doing our first candle lightation in the evening, 7 o'clock. Please come and join. And also, when you come to that place, that is not the place for just sit down and smoke. Right? That's not the place for go and park your bike. That is not the place, you know, like a storage. That is not the place we created. Sometimes people don't know. Sometimes people misunderstand. So therefore, whoever come to the temple, what I'm asking you all, go to that place 1 minute. Bow to the Buddha, bow to the Kuan Yin, and there is a peace bell. You can ring the bell and put your heart into that earth. Put your energy into that place. Then one day birds will come and rest there. People can come and find peace. So therefore, I think your thoughts, your intentions, you have to put into that ground. Then make it that a holy place. So temple is inside, building is totally shut down, but still you have a place for you to sit. Now think about this hard day, difficult day, emotional drain. So that day you can come to the healing garden and sit for a while. So when anybody travel to San Diego, there is a self-realization garden. You have seen, it's a beautiful garden, self-realization garden. I have been there a couple of times. When you go there, I feel all my wounded heart get healed in that place. So therefore, my intention bring this feeling into the Blue Lotus Temple. This makes sense? So maybe if you have a flower, you can bring that flower and offer to the Buddha or whatever you want to do there. So always make your life there in that beautiful place. So anybody has any questions about this right now? About the healing garden before we start other part? Anybody? Yes. So Kuan Yin is a bodhisattva, you know, so female version of the bodhisattva, way I understand it is coming from this venerable tradition. And she is the embodiment of compassion. She hears all the pain and challenges and difficulties of the people. So therefore people go and chanting to her and praying to her, asking some healing. So that is the purpose of that, right? Okay. So, anybody else? Any thoughts? And also, how many tons is our medicine Buddha is 8, right?
8,000 pounds.
Huh? 8,000 pounds is the weight. So, that marble Buddha. So, and also, other beautiful thing, nobody believes there is such a beautiful place, middle of the McHenry County, far away from Chicago. People think, what? Buddhist temple in Woodstock? Sometimes people never believe it. Never believe it. So therefore, I think this McHenry County people around the temple who is living here, you are the most fortunate people to have this beautiful place. So therefore, you know, help and support with practice, whatever you can help this place, another 1,000 years to continue this journey. After we dig this ground to take care of this place, Bhante Rahula said one day he went outside, he can see all the old bricks of the building of the foundation. Then he told me he went outside, he was touch his palm on those old bricks, and also, he was thinking how wonderful that he put that energy. He was thinking last maybe 120 years ago when people built this building, somebody put their energy into this building. Now think about how many thousands of people receive benefit from this building right now. Then, therefore, I want to be a part of it too. He put his energy into that. Does it make sense? So, therefore, whatever intention you have in your mind, sitting here in this beautiful building, and everybody sitting on this chair or cushion, or use this building, that means you are putting your heart and energy into this place. Maybe within next 20, I don't know how long I'm going to live. I don't know. I have tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe this is my last day. But in next 20 years, most of us are gone. But this place exists. This place exists. So therefore, it is not wasting your energy. And people always looking for peaceful world. If you want to make the peaceful world, make more peace in your mind, then we can help the world to make this world peaceful. So that is the purpose behind this healing unity garden. Okay, thank you. Tyler?
Morning. It was a long road to get here. We started this about 18 months ago. And I want to start with some real deep appreciation. Rebecca, keep standing. Everybody, please just give me a round of applause for Rebecca. This has been a monumental effort day in and day out, and Tessa and Rebecca and lots of people, but they're the ones who are here every day in and day out, navigating joy and anger and frustrated people and difficult contractors and lots of messes and walls falling down and why is that brick there and oh my God, the part didn't arrive and it's twice as much as we thought and all those things. So Really, really grateful. I don't know if Scott's here, but there's another guy I want to be grateful to. So about almost 20 years ago now, this young guy, real awkward guy, begged me for a job, and I didn't hire him. And that night, I walked out to my parking lot, and he was sitting on the hood of my car. And I said, well, what are you doing there? And he goes, well, I'm just going to sit here till you hire me. And I'm like, well, I'm not hiring you. So I left. And then the next night, he was sitting on the hood of my car. And about 5 days later, I hired him. And he's still with me all those years later. And he's an engineer by trade and a really brilliant guy. And this has been an extraordinary effort. And he has been sort of my extension when I'm not able to be around to really get this done and meet all the people and manage all the details. So that's been a really beautiful thing. And I'm really grateful to him. I want to talk about the incredible joy and difficulty of working with Bhante. So you guys have heard me tell this story a few times, but like I remember the first time I took him to buy a car, it was so frustrating because like, you know, there's lots of decisions to make when you buy a car, right? Like color is a decision, right? And his answer is, well, I want it joyful. That was the color I had to find. And then we would negotiate the entire deal, and I worked out the best price ever. And we'd be like totally done. And then he would sit in the finance meeting and goes, doesn't feel right. And he'd walk out after like 4 hours in there, you know. This is how it works. So luckily, this I didn't know it back then, all those years ago, but this was training for how things would develop around here. And so when Bhante got back from Vietnam, he told me about his moment with Thich Nhat Hanh. And the way I remember it, but I also remember the much simpler version, which is what he often yells at me. And what he said was, we have to make sure that no one remembers me in that place. He said, you get anything of me out of there. I am here for the teachings. My purpose is to deliver teachings that came from deep wisdom. I don't want to be revered. This is not my place. This is the place of these teachings. And so I just want to really acknowledge that that's the level of intentionality that began this journey and to build this garden was that level of clarity and commitment in that moment in Vietnam. And I'm just so grateful to be around somebody who has that sort of commitment. I think it's a really, really beautiful and rare thing. Then he and I took a walk on the prairie path to catch up. He'd been gone a little while. And I don't know if you remember, we started in McHenry, Monk, remember? And we're walking on the prairie path, and he's telling me that the Buddha statue is coming. Now, Bhante is so brilliant and literally one of the naivest human beings I've ever met. So he has never, ever one time considered what it means to bring an 8,000-pound statue from Vietnam to a port in the United States or to bring it to Woodstock. Like, just take a second and imagine what it takes to, like, even set 8,000 pounds down, right? The cranes and the platforms needed and the, like, where he was like, why don't you put it over there? And, like, the city told me, well, you'll crush the water system for half the town, you know? So we're walking, and these were Bhante's entire instructions. They were three very, very simple words. Make something wonderful. Those were his instructions to us. Make something wonderful. And that wonder, those instructions, they provide so much freedom for this to be a collective, for this to be a community cause rather than his directive. He had the understanding and the intentionality of the statue itself, and he had the intention of what he wanted it to do for our community and the gift he wanted it to be and the legacy of us to our next generation. He had that clarity. And then in his infinite way, he said, make something wonderful, which allowed us to invite so many people's thoughts in, and architects and planners and Should we do this? And should we do this? And should we do this? And the result is this collective effort and this spirit of really, really wanting to create a public declaration of the power of unity. Right? I don't know of a time in my lifetime where we've needed to come together more. And so the idea that we were able to build a totally public, completely inclusive space where Buddha and Jesus and Mary and Kuan Yin, and hopefully over the years many, many other wisdom masters will be enshrined in this dedicated space that says we can come together regardless of our differences, that we can unify. We have more aligned than we have that we disagree with, and that if we set that deep intention, we can heal the world through that act of tearing down division and coming back together. And so I've been so deeply frustrated by how long this project took, over a year longer than it was supposed to. And I'm now standing here like so certain of the wisdom of the timing, because I just can't think of a better time in the next, you know, little while here where we could stand as messengers for this deep message of coming back together, recommitting to each other, finding what we love about each other, and standing together unified. What a really beautiful offering that we all get to give to the community. So this morning, I typed in the words, make something wonderful, because I was thinking about what I wanted to say, and after he gave me that instruction 18 months ago or whatever it was, I'd been thinking about it, but I never looked into it. It turns out that there's actually a book that Steve Jobs' wife put together after his passing, and the title of it is Make Something Wonderful. And the opening paragraph is Steve Jobs' own words, and so I just want to read it today as part of our opening. There's a lot of ways to be as a person, and some people express their deep appreciation in different ways. But one of the ways that I believe people express their appreciation to the rest of humanity is to make something wonderful and put it out there. You may never meet the people. You never shake their hands. You never hear their story or tell your story. But somehow, in the act of making something with a great deal of care and love, something is transmitted there. And it's a way of expressing to the rest of our species our deep appreciation. So we need to be true to who we are and remember what's really important to us. Make something wonderful. Grant, you got your timer on you?
I do.
Okay, so I need you to time something for a minute, but not yet. How many people in this room have given Bhante their gratitude? How many people have been grateful to him and told them that they're grateful to him? Everybody in some way, shape, or form? All right. Now, I'm going to speak on behalf of all of you. I know that the only answer he's ever given you is thank you. And then almost immediately, he's distracted by your trying to be generous or grateful to him because someone else needs something. And he immediately turns away from that acknowledgement and that gratitude and immediately starts helping someone else. Immediately. We all know his health journey because he's unable to stop. We all know that he has this inner commitment to give and give and give. And there is a brokenness in Bhante that I want us all to fix today. He is unable to accept love and appreciation for longer than it takes to say thank you three times. So how long does it say it take to say thank you three times? Would you time me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How long was that?
4.5 seconds.
Okay. So how about we go about 5 times as much as that? Can we give this man a standing ovation for his deep heart and commitment? Can we all stand up and let's celebrate him for 5 times longer than he's ever received appreciation? On your marks, get set, go. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you, everybody.
Please be seated. Good morning, everybody. Well, I'm not going to ask you to clap for him again, so that's enough for the rest of his life. That's a lot of clapping. So, first of all, thank you all for coming today. I am so grateful to be here. We all are here, like Banse mentioned, just one man's mission. That was Lord Buddha for 2,600 years ago. That's why we are from the other side of the world, that sitting here from different countries, monks from different practices, and you all are from different places. We all are here with one common goal, to investigate about ourselves, finding peace, love, compassion, common goal for all of us, finding happiness. So I'm grateful to the teachings of the Buddha, and I'm grateful to Bhante Sujata that having this place open for all of us to share our wisdom and practice our wisdom. This temple is unique compared to many temples throughout the world. This is probably the one of the only temple that in the whole world that has Lord Buddha is here, Jesus here, Mother Mary is here. Of course, now outside we have a Buddhist different traditional practice, so we have everything in this place. If you think about all the teachings from all the different religious practices, they all have something similar. I always compare this to taking a direction to go to one place. If you want to go to Chicago, you can get a direction for MapQuest, Google Map, Apple Map, but you will find, if you're a little cheaper, you can find to avoid toll, and then you will still go to Chicago. The different practices are having a different way of finding similar goals. I always joke about us, if we have somehow asked Lord Buddha, Jesus, Prophet, all these leaders, religious leaders to come today to life and sit in front of us and ask him them, what do you think, how we are doing? And they're all going to say, like, you guys are crazy, because this is not what we taught you. So this place is unique because you can follow whatever you are following. You can be Muslim, you can be Christian, Catholic, Jewish, you can practice Theravada Buddhism, Mahayana Buddhism, whatever you are practicing. But the Buddhist practice is, there is no religion to it. It's a way of life. So you can follow whatever the religion, whatever your heart ask you to follow, but you can still practice the Buddhist teachings of practicing. So that's what the dedication of outside for the unity, healing garden. If you have something that you are practicing, if you have something that you are praying for, something that you want to bring it out there, you are more than welcome to bring whatever that you are practicing, that you are believing, and bringing and collecting that energy that, as Bhante mentioned, whenever you go there, this, when you come to a group environment, group practice, it's so important because we all have the same sort of energy that we all carry. And then when you come out there and go there and then give your energy to that place, it will be wonderful because today is a unique time and a unique day for all of us, because you are a big part of this temple for years to come. This Unitarian Church originally built in 1865, and we don't even know who helped to build this beautiful place. That's why when Bhante said that when they have this groundbreaking, I went there and wanted to touch the basement, because some people 130, 40 years ago touched that place and built, and here we are from a different part of the world, coming to one place to share a one
a common goal of finding happiness. So this place will be to open to a lot of people to come in the future for hundreds of years to come to. So we are a big part of that. So that's why going there and putting your energy out there is so important. So I just wanted to thank you, every one of them, Tyler, Rebecca, Tessa, of course, Bhante's mission. And there are lots of people who volunteers came and helped to be in that place, having put new flowers and all those things. So thank you all for coming together and helping what Bhante's mission come to a picture of what we are seeing today. So thank you all for coming today, and thank you very much.